Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you may remember a few weeks ago, Rob Dixon, in his first sermon with us, preached on the story of the rich young ruler from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And in this pretty well-known story, there's this earnest young man who runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees and asks perhaps the most important question that any of us would have to ask Jesus, which is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to get into heaven? And at first glance, today's gospel story from Mark chapter 12 seems somewhat similar to that one from a few weeks ago. We have a man, in this case a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, and he too cries out to Jesus because he wants something. At first he cries out, "Have mercy on me," and then he asks for his sight to be restored. So these seem to be somewhat similar. And yet, in many ways, these two stories, one from Mark chapter 10 and one from Mark chapter 12, are the opposite of one another. To begin with, the man in that first story is described as rich, but Bartimaeus today is a penniless beggar. The man in that first story is full of youthful vim and vigor, but Bartimaeus is blind, and in the story we find him seated and begging by the side of the road. That first man is described as a ruler, meaning that he has some standing in his community, some measure of respect and power and control over his life. But Bartimaeus is just about the lowest of the low. He has nothing, no money, no power, no sight. And we could even say that in the eyes of those who were part of that community in that day, that first man, that rich young ruler, was righteous. Remember what Jesus says to him? Jesus says, "You know the commandments, obey your father and mother, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit murder." And what does that young man say? "All these things I have done since I was a boy." Now, yeah, right, but that's another story. Whereas Bartimaeus, in his blind beggarliness, in the eyes of the people who would have seen him as they were passing through Jericho, they would have thought to themselves, well, clearly this man's a sinner. Clearly he has done something, or his parents have done something to deserve this kind of life. It's his fault that he's blind, that he has no money. So really, in the eyes of people in that day, that first story would have been about a righteous man, and the second story about an unrighteous one. But perhaps most strikingly, you may remember that at the end of that story a few weeks ago, that rich young ruler walked away from his encounter with Jesus sad, disappointed, disheartened. He didn't get from Jesus what he had sought. Whereas in this story, Bartimaeus has his sight restored miraculously. He who was blind is made to see, and he rejoices, and immediately, the reading says, he becomes one of Jesus' disciples. He follows him. In a very real way, we could say that that story from Mark chapter 10 of the rich young ruler, it begins with a man who seems to have everything and yet ends up with nothing. While in this story, we have a man who starts with nothing and yet ends up with everything, everything of eternal value. So how and why does this happen? How and why do these stories, these two stories which start so similarly, how do they end so differently? Well, if I were to put it simply, I would say that Bartimaeus, in contrast to the rich young ruler, Bartimaeus is blessed with neediness. And even just saying that feels a little strange, because there are few things in our culture that are more abhorred, more distasteful, more embarrassing than neediness, right? I mean, if we had to choose between which of these two men we would rather be, the choice is clear. I'd rather be rich and young and powerful than blind and penniless, right? Even though the stories end in such different ways. No one wants to be needy. No one wants to have to depend on anyone or anything but themselves, right? Speaking as a man, I can say that the best thing about my iPhone is that it means I never have to ask for directions ever again. Praise God. Of course, occasionally it leads me on wild goose chases, but we won't talk about that. Or recently, I was listening to a podcast about Katrina, because the 10th anniversary, of course, of Katrina just happened, and they were interviewing this woman who, at the time that the storm hit, was living in New Orleans, and she lost everything. She lost her home, her place of business was washed away, so she lost her job, and she found herself here in Houston, as so many people from New Orleans did, but after a few weeks, her bank account was empty and her credit cards were maxed out, and she was waiting for her insurance check to come through or for some sort of relief money from FEMA to come through, and she ended up begging in order to feed herself and her children, and she talked about how devastating that was to her self-image and her self-confidence. It's so hard to be in a place of neediness like that. Or what do we hear people say so often when they're beginning to get a little bit older? Whatever happens, I just don't want to be a burden, right? Whatever happens, I don't want to be a burden. And some of that is love, right? We love our children, we love our families, we don't want them to sort of carry the weight of our lives. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, a healthy portion of that is pride as well, right? We want to be self-sufficient. We human beings, and especially we Americans, we Houstonians, we St. Martinites, we work very hard to cultivate the image and myth of self-sufficiency, don't we? To pretend that we've got it all under control, that we don't need anything from anyone. And maybe that's why, just like that rich young ruler, so much of the time we find ourselves sad or stressed out or anxious, because that need to be self-sufficient all the time, to not need anyone else. That's a heavy load to bear. That's a heavy burden to carry. But notice today, Bartimaeus, he ain't carrying that burden. He has no shame, no pretension. He has no problem with being needy. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 12. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. They were probably pretty embarrassed, like, "Come on, keep it down. Jesus has better things to deal with." But Bartimaeus cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, do you think that Bartimaeus was the only one there that day who had needs? Who had wants? Of course not. But ironically, in this situation, it's this blind man who is the only one who can see. The only one who can see himself as he truly is in all of his need, and the only one who can see Jesus in all of his power and his glory. And so Bartimaeus is healed. So what can we learn from this blind beggar? Well, number one, I would say we should be shameless in our prayers, shameless in what we ask for from Jesus. Ask for what you want, for what you need, and keep on shouting until you get Jesus' attention. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells these two striking parables about prayer. The first one's in chapter 11. He tells this parable about a man who receives a guest in the middle of the night, and then he, to his horror, discovers he has nothing to feed this man, and so he goes next door to his neighbor's house at like 2 a.m. and just starts banging on the door. I don't think I want to live next to a guy like that, but he keeps on banging until his neighbor wakes up and gives him some food, and he gives it to the guest who just showed up in the middle of the night. And following up on that parable, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find." Then later on in chapter 18, he tells this other parable about prayer. He talks about a widow who's seeking justice, and she goes to this judge who Jesus says is unjust. This is not a just judge, it's an unjust judge. But she goes to him day after day after day after day, and finally, he gives her what she wants, not because his heart has changed, but just because she's wearing him out. You know, so the message there from Jesus is wear God out with your prayers. Be shameless in your prayers. Number two, and this kind of follows, don't let your pride hinder your prayers. You know, sometimes we think that it's all up to us, right? It's up to us to solve the problem. It's up to us to figure it out, even when clearly it's not happening. And so I think the message of this story is to give up on your self-sufficiency because it's not working, and to take your prayers, to take your cares to Jesus. And remember what he says, I have not come for the healthy, but for the sick. I've not come for the righteous, but for sinners. I've not come for the self-sufficient, but for the needy. Okay, I made that last one up, but it kind of follows, doesn't it? Jesus can only help us when we admit our need. Or as one of my favorite best friends and favorite priests says, God's office is at the end of your rope. You ever experienced that? And if I could be so bold as to contradict Benjamin Franklin, because he's the one who said this is not actually in the Bible, so I'm going to contradict him here. I'm going to say, Jesus helps those who cannot help themselves. That's Christianity. That's the gospel. That's what we see today in the story of blind Bartimaeus. And lastly, Jesus cares about your problems. You know, sometimes I think we think that God has much more important things to be worrying about, that other people's problems are more pressing than ours. But in this story, Bartimaeus has no such hang-ups, does he? He wants what he wants, and he's going to scream and yell until he gets it. Jesus is not too important for our problems, and our problems are not too small for him. I love how the Apostle Peter puts it in chapter 5, verse 7. He says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. That is such a relief to me that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how big or small, Peter doesn't say cast the big problems and the small stuff is up to you. He says cast all your anxieties upon God because he cares for you. And so this morning, I think the question for us is, what do we need from Jesus? What are we desperate for? What's keeping us up at nights? What's the cry of our hearts? What's the situation that you just can't seem to manage? Or the healing you so desire? Or the sin that you're just tired of carrying? And as you think on those things this morning and today and this week, I want to leave you with the words of the Irish poet Joseph Scriven, which I know from a children's song. You may remember this from your own childhood. These are such helpful words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. My friends, this morning and always, may we take our cares to Jesus in prayer and find healing and peace the way that Bartimaeus did. Amen.